And to talk Royals baseball now on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill and Downs, is former Royal Jamie Bluma. Jamie, how you doing today, man?
Good morning. Another chilly morning for April.
Yes, it is. I know out here yesterday we had wind gusts up to 40, 45, maybe even 50 miles per hour. Has it been pretty windy up in the Kansas City area too?
It was yesterday. I'm sure not. The sun is at least out today, and it's not windy, so the chill's not so bad. But curious weather for April to start this baseball season for sure.
Absolutely. Here's a stat. Some people love stats. I don't know how much you love stats, but this is an alarming statistic. The Royals have more postponements this year than wins. I don't think I've ever heard that before. Have you?
Not a good stat. I like good stats.
Well, let's talk about the Royals this year. They're off to a 3-13 start. Jamie Bluma, our guest, to talk about it. I guess I really should ask you, and I kind of mentioned this before we had you on the air, but I know you. I mean, technically, your eligibility never runs out after you're done playing professional sports. You could always make a comeback. I think the Royals could use your arm, man, because they can't get anybody out with that bullpen.
The one thing that does give me hope is to watch Bartolo Colon on Sunday night.
That's right.
I'm built more like Bartolo Colon probably than anybody else in the league. So to see him doing what he was doing that night against Verlander was pretty awesome to see. We joke and jest about that. But, I mean, after we just talked about that, I mean, I got to thinking about it a little bit. And those guys that are struggling in our bullpen, obviously Blaine Boyer and Justin Grimm, we were hoping for guys to maybe, you know, catch lightning in a bottle and maybe – see if they've got anything left. And big league hitters are so good, they'll let you know when your stuff's not going to play. So you take that with, I mean, even Colon throwing 88 to 91 with amazing sink on the ball and the ability to command it, it just tells you the fine line between, you know, being able to spot up and get people out, change speeds and do all that, and the ability to not do that. And it's such a fine line, and big league hitters are so good. You just kind of can see that early on with a couple of guys that we've got in our pen in Boyer and Grimm.
Well, let's talk about the bullpen because, you know, Brandon Maurer, some people label him as gas can Maurer. He really hasn't done very well really in any, not many of his outings since he came over in the trade from San Diego last year. So they optioned him to Omaha. That's going to solve everything, right? Wrong. Blaine Boyer has an ERA, I think, at 25 right now. He was shelled the other day. Justin Grimm, after a decent start, picked up by after the Cubs let him go, comes over to Kansas City. I thought that was a smart signing. His last four outings, he's given up multiple runs. You've been in the bullpen before in college and in pros. Is it contagious when a bullpen is struggling and one guy struggles and a second guy gets shelled? Does it get into your psyche as a player in the bullpen?
I mean, it can. I mean, you probably go out there and you try too hard. I mean, they know as a group they haven't performed well, so you want to be the guy even more so than you did before. I mean, every time you go out there and pitch, you obviously want to go out there and get guys out, but when you collectively as a group have been struggling, you want to be the guy to try to right the ship a little bit. So you might try out there and go out there and try to do, you know, more than you're capable of doing. You can only, as my pitching coach in college, Brent Kibnitz, would say, you know, do not try to move faster than motor skills will allow. Like, don't try to do more than you can do. You got to trust your stuff. Grimm just hasn't had the ability to throw strikes at this point. That's been the trouble. And with Boyer, just he's hitting a lot of bats. So, I mean, you just want to be the guy. Those guys want to stay in the big leagues, and they're trying their maybe last shot to try to stay in the league. And, I mean, I can see what we were doing as far as signing some of these guys. Dayton never was going to say the word, you know, tank or anything like that. So he wanted to try to put, you know, at least a competitive team on the field with signing a couple of those guys. And then we've got, obviously, John Jay and Duda, and we got Moose back. So before the season started, you hated it because Salvi got hurt a day before the season started. And then miserable opening day as far as weather, and we gave up 6 home runs. So not a good start, but, I mean, you kind of see what he's trying to do. We don't have that many great prospects in the upper minor league. That we don't want to push guys to the big leagues when they're not ready and then have them fail, and then it kind of stunts their growth as far as the prospect. So if we can have some guys with some ability to go out and have decent years, and then at the trade deadline, if we're not where we want to be, which looks like we're not going to be, You know, maybe try to put those guys for a couple middle of the road prospects and retool our minor league. But I don't think anybody thought we were going to get off to this bad of a start. We knew the bullpen was going to be a struggle, not this big of a struggle. Starting pitching's actually been okay, with the exception of Skoglund struggled a little bit. And you know, it's been cold. But I some people have used the cold as an excuse. Haven't played at Wichita State and been in cold weather plenty in my career. The other team's playing in the same weather, so I don't want everyone to use, when the playing field's even and it's cold for everybody, the tougher guy is going to figure it out.
Jamie Blumar, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. I was sharing this story yesterday, and I remember when the trades were made for Ben Zobrist and Johnny Cueto in 2015. The Royals and their fans were excited. The Royals were in it. They were going for it to win a World Series. And I remember saying on the show that it was going, there was only one way for it to be graded as a great trade, and that would be if the Royals won the World Series. And that's what happened. So it was a great trade. Won a World Series. I will not trade that for anything. But I warned Royals fans at the time. I said, listen, we're giving up a lot of prospects for these two guys, and there will be a price to pay down the line for doing this. And I didn't say that the Royals shouldn't do it. I was just letting people know there is a price to pay for going for it down the line. Now, the Royals did. It worked out. They won it. I wouldn't trade that championship for anything. I'm okay with 5 to 10 years of misery if I know the Royals are going to win a world championship a couple times during my tenure or my lifetime. That's okay, because a lot of organizations don't. Well, look at the Cubs. Took them a long time before they got back and won a World Series. The Red Sox as well. There's some people who believe, hey, if we make the playoffs 10 straight years and don't win at all, I'd still rather have 10 years of really competitive baseball, or 5 years, whatever comparison you want to make. But I'd like to get your thoughts on that, because when you do put together a system and things click and you got Moose and Hosmer and you make some savvy trades, you're in it to win it, you go for it. And whether the Royals, if they didn't win the World Series, there still would be the price to pay. They did win the World Series. And then, of course, they tried to keep the gang together for a couple years after that, which I don't blame Dayton for doing that either. But then the Royals made a few more trades, Melky Cabrera and other trades that they made. And now we're to this point. Isn't that kind of the long-term picture of it, is that if you're going to really go after a championship, there is a price to pay?
There absolutely is a price to pay. I mean, I heard the comment, you got to pay the credit card bill at some point, and yeah, it looks like we're paying it now. You know, you look back, and I was thinking about this morning and this week, like, of all the prospects that we did trade, I mean, who's really been good that we traded for the people that we traded for?
Right.
I mean, the only guy that really stands out to me is Sean Manaea with Oakland. And at the time, I was a little worried about getting rid of that guy, but we won a World Series, bottom line, period. And that's all that matters. And even if we're going to struggle, the tough thing is we've got so many fans here in Kansas City that are new fans, and maybe they've only been new fans since, you know, 2010, 2011, and we started playing good, and now we won a World Series. They haven't been a part of the struggle it is, albeit it was 29 years before we got back to the playoff. They just haven't been through that part of the struggle, and now they're going to see that part of it this year. I think the good thing in starting off like this is, well, now we know it's a rebuild. So now we know what we're doing. We're probably not going to get back in the race, so maybe we can develop some guys, you know, lean on those guys that we did sign to one-year contracts. We just got we don't have any other than the Gordon contract. I think every other contract we got. Kennedy started off good. That contract still looks all right when he's throwing good. You know what? We got an opportunity to maybe rebuild this club through trades and stuff as the season goes on. I mean, even at 3-13, I think we got better days ahead. Everybody in the league's going to, you know, lose 7 out of 10, hopefully. And I said it early in the year, you don't want to go through 8-game losing streaks, but this team has done that. So I think looking forward, you know, I kind of, now that we know this is going to be a rebuild, you can kind of wrap your head around it, know that we're going to struggle and be okay with it. But at the back of your head, we're World Series champs from a couple years ago, and you can never take that away.
Yeah, absolutely. Jamie Blue, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. You know, I totally understand your point about, like, all the guys the Royals did trade, none of them have turned into all-stars or great players. The one thing I will counter on that, though, is that if you did have the guys in the system, even if they weren't great, you wouldn't have had to go sign Ian Kennedy to a big-time deal that hampers you a little bit financially. You wouldn't have to get a Jason Hamill to replace your Donovan Ventura when he passed away, because you would have had more options in the minor league system. Now, granted, those guys might not have pitched any better than what the Royals have now, but the Royals would have had more financial flexibility if you didn't have to sign Kennedy and Hamill and things like that, to where they could get maybe some better pieces around these guys. Have you heard that side of the argument as well?
And then I totally agree 100%. I mean, I think when you peel back the layers of the onion a little bit, the thing that I see too as well, to add to your point, is since the Hosmer and Moustakas wave of guys that have come up with Kane and all those guys, Kane was not obviously in our system. We haven't drafted very well.
Yeah.
Over the last 6 or 7 years. I mean, some of the guys that we've taken in the first 5 rounds really haven't panned out. We're still waiting on Bubba Starling. Some of Zimmer hasn't turned out. We just the guys that we've drafted, you know, since the beginning of this in 2001, since the 2011, excuse me, since the Hosmer Moustakas wave kind of came through, we haven't done a ton of picking the right guys in the draft. And that's what you see with Houston, you know, and Chicago and Atlanta, and those guys have always done a good job of, you know, maybe selecting the right. You're not going to have superstars up and down, but you need one of those first 2-3 round guys each year to be an impact player at the big league level. We just haven't gotten the right guys. And that falls on the scouting department and our scouts, you know, going out and do that. And the caveat is when you do lose, there's only, you know, you lose too many games, you're going to get a higher pick in the draft, and we just got to pick that right guy.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was where I was going next, Jamie. You know, Kyle Zimmer is a perfect example, and you could say that Kyle Zimmer has been snake bitten. I know you dealt with a lot of injuries in your career and shortened your career. Kyle Zimmer, fifth overall pick in the 2012 draft, year in and year out, saying, Zimmer, we hope he's going to be up here. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. And it got to the point where, with all the injuries he's had, he was designated for assignment on March 29th. He then was placed on unconditional release waivers, and he cleared waivers. And now he's back in the minors with the Royals. He just hasn't panned out. That's an example. And then another one, I guess, and we can't close the book on Zimmer yet, but it doesn't look promising. And then another former Royals first-round pick, and you could call this bad luck as well, Ash Russell, has semi-retired from baseball, just not mentally into it, trying to deal with some issues. And we know Zach Greinke did that, came back, and he's fantastic. We know Danny Duffy stepped away from the game, came back fantastic. Maybe Ash Russell will be one of those guys. But when we look at the Royals and those high draft picks, as you mentioned, missing comes back to haunt you, especially as a small market team. But also, it seems to be some bad luck there. Am I wrong?
You know what? There is bad luck. I mean, the draft is such a crapshoot. I mean, it's so hard. I mean, you take most pitchers that you've had, whether they've been successful or not successful, they've been hurt at some point. It's how guys bounce back, you know, how you rehab from an injury. Everybody's been through something. And you just got to, I mean, that's a lot of it. You got to find out when you're scouting what a guy's mental makeup is. You talked about it. I laughed at the time because we had a whole host of guys. Even Hochaver, who was a first-rounder by us, he was drafted high the year before and chose not to play and sit out and then go draft again. And then Greinke, we've documented his struggles from the mental standpoint. He kind of stepped away from the game. And Danny Duffy. So it's just amazing to me. I think it's just this generation of players to some degree, and maybe it's just this generation of people. When the going gets tough a little bit, I guess it's just easier to walk away sometimes than it is to grind it out, which is more the generation that I'm from.
Yeah.
You know, 70s baby. To just, you know what, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, to steal a phrase, and there was never any thought about, you know, stepping away from it when you're a prospect like that. I give Bubba Starling all the credit in the world, because with the money that he got in the draft and a 3-year deal, and he could have stepped away when he's riding buses and A-ball, and gone back and played football at Nebraska, and he's going to grind it out. And hopefully, if he's healthy, you know, and does anything this year, puts up numbers in Omaha, I think he's going to get an opportunity. But once again, he's hurt with an oblique and not able to get on the field. Well, obviously, if you're not able to get on the field, you're not able to move up in any stretch at all.
Jamie Bloom, our guest, former Royal, here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. You mentioned the word rebuild earlier, and that's what the Royals are going to have to do is rebuild. Here's the problem I have personally as a Royals fan is, like I said earlier, I'm okay with going through some tough seasons until we make it back to the playoffs again, and I would never trade what happened in 14 and 15 for anything in the world. Those memories will last a lifetime. Nobody can take that away. The thing that's really tough for me is that I look at this division, and clearly Cleveland's better than everybody else, I think. Minnesota is kind of like the Royals before the Royals became the Royals when they got really good. Young, up-and-coming team, made the playoffs last year. The White Sox are in a full rebuild mode, it seems. The Tigers are definitely in a full rebuild mode. But the Royals, to me, are in neutral. They're not, to me, this is not a rebuild yet because these, as you mentioned earlier, there's not a lot of guys that are ready to go at the big league level. That's why they spent the money, although some cheap deals, one-year deals with Duda and with Grimm and with Jay and with Moustakas, and it makes sense. But I think it's really a delicate thing that Dayton's dealing with here because a lot of people, and I get it, hey, why can't Hunter Dozier's up here and maybe a few other guys? You want to bring up the Schwindle kid, O'Hearn, whatever. Bring up whoever you think is decent at AAA. They could go 3-13, couldn't they? That's the argument. But at the same time, you know how it is as a young player. If you come up too soon and your confidence is blown or you're not ready, it could set you back for years. And we saw Allard Baird do that with some kids back in the day with the Royals, and it did not turn out well.
Well, that's the fine line that you play. I mean, right now, you pick this guy's out of spring training, you're going to stick with them for at least a month. I mean, if not into the middle of May to see what guys are doing. What you hope is those one-year guys that you signed go out and are productive because then they do have some value for a contender. And then at that point, when you make a decision on what to do, and you're not going to do much in April, unless you're the Cincinnati Reds who fired their manager and pitching coach this morning.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that already.
Yeah, I did.
But you kind of got to go with what, you know, you decided you were going to do out of spring training. And I would say probably once the weather warms up a little bit and see if we can't put a little bit of a streak together and start to see, you know, the Yankees need a third baseman. I saw that the Braves just signed
Jose Bautista.
I mean, so there's going to be some interest out there as long as our guys are playing well, you know, and a Duda and a Jay and some of those guys. And then when those dominoes start to fall, then I start, if, as long as those guys are performing, you know, Schwindel that did great in spring training and some of those guys, O'Hearn down in AAA, as long as those guys are doing well, I mean, my thing is you have to perform at that level before you get to come play at this level. And with some of the times when we've got money invested in guys, we push them through whether they succeeded or not just because of the money invested in those guys. But you want guys to succeed. You like having guys together. That was the nice thing about Moose and Haas and those things coming through our minor league system. Winning at the minor league level, too, makes you a winner at the big league level as well. And that's some of that stuff is hard to quantify when they're coming through. But I think you'll start to see dominoes fall here in the next, you know, not now, but maybe into May, and start seeing what other contenders that have shown that they're going to be there maybe for the longer haul and see when stuff starts happening.
Doubleheaders used to be common in baseball way back. You had your day-night doubleheaders. I remember a few when I was growing up, which lets people know my age. And I enjoyed that, man. I thought that was so cool. You know, you could go to two games. A lot of times it would be ones right after the other, like the Blue Jays and Royals had on Tuesday. Of course, they've changed that, you know, over the years to where day-night, and then they can get people out, come back in, make money. I get it. I understand it's a business. How did you approach doubleheaders when you played at whatever level it might have been? Because I'm looking at the Royals here, doubleheader Tuesday, and then they have another doubleheader tomorrow. They do have an off day today. So doubleheader, they have two doubleheaders this week, Tuesday and then Friday, and they have a third doubleheader coming up on the 28th of April. And I think I read the other day, it's the first time in a long, long time that a baseball team has had three doubleheaders in the month of April. How did you approach doubleheaders?
I love, as a reliever, I love doubleheaders because I could get two saves in one day. I might get a chance to pitch twice in one day and get two saves in one day. So as a reliever, man, you relish that opportunity because you want to get out there and pitch every single day. And doubleheaders, you love. They're a little bit different at the minor league level because you play 2-7. In the big leagues, it's clearly 2 9-inning games, so that makes for long days. But if you're a guy that's not swinging the bat well, you get an opportunity to get 8 at-bats, and you can come out of the slump. And if you're a guy that's hot, you want as many as at-bats as you can get. Now, the weather's not great, so the fact that you're going to go play 18 innings in sub-Arctic weather is probably not the funnest thing in the world, but you get an opportunity to get out there and play. I mean, these guys are paid to play, so I don't think anybody's got any problem with doubleheaders. And you want, that just don't happen as often. So maybe that's the excitement. You're going to spend that much time at the ballpark anyway. You might as well be out there putting in innings that count.
I know you were a tremendous two-way player, right, Jamie? You could hit the ball out of the park 450 feet, and you could throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball like the Ohtani kid for the Angels. What are your thoughts about this kid and what he's been able to do so far? I think it's refreshing. I love to see more players be able to do that, and that is to, when they're not pitching, they're a DH or in the outfield or play every day and pitch every fifth day. I think that's tremendous for the game.
Oh, I think it's fantastic because it's something completely different. And I've been talking to a lot of my college. Even at breakfast this morning, I was talking to another guy that played at Creighton. They had a guy named Kevin Frederick. Kevin pitched in the big leagues a little bit with the Twins and the Blue Jays, but he could absolutely hit when he was in college. I was fortunate enough to play with a good two-way player in Darren Dreyfuss at Wichita State his junior year. Not only was he a second pick as a pitcher, he had 22 home runs for us that year. So I think, I mean, the guy, that the Rays, I can't remember his name, the Rays have a guy in the minor leagues that's going to do it a little bit right now. He's getting a chance to do it in the minor leagues. Ohtani's been fun to watch. I was a little concerned just with how spring training went. He didn't pitch well. He didn't hit well. But maybe he was pulling one over on us where that's what he does in spring training, so nobody knows what they got to look forward to. And then he's, as the lights have shone brighter, he's played even better. Had a little blister on his finger and didn't throw well the other night, but I saw him start before, and it was electric. And the thing for me with Ohtani is, man, his teammates seem to have really taken to him. His first major league home run, when he came into the dugout, everybody had given him the ignore, so nobody was paying attention to him. So he ended up going up and hugging a guy, and then everybody burst out in laughter. So it's refreshing. It's new. Baseball is always going to be in a state of change, and I love the fact that the Angels are giving him the opportunity. I don't know how it'll go long term. It's tough, man. It's a grind. It's 162 games, whether you're pitching full time or you're hitting full time. Hopefully he's the kind of athlete that's going to do. We're already seeing stuff being done that we haven't seen in a long time, and it makes me think of some other guys. Brooks Kieschnick, if you remember that game's name, that pitched at Texas. Kieschnick was a good hitter. He didn't get enough credit when he was with the Brewers, you know, in the middle of his career, where he was their long reliever. He was their left-handed pinch hitter off the bench, too. So there's been guys, and there's been some guys that have done it, but maybe not at the hype level that Ohtani's doing it. And you're absolutely right. I think it's good for the game, and it's super refreshing and exciting. That's must-see TV.
It is. Back to the Royals before we let you go. Two more questions for you. I want you to look into your crystal ball. I know you do that as a side job. When do you think the Royals will be back in the playoffs? What's your crystal ball say?
What is it, 2018? Hopefully, depending on what happens this year, I think it's going to be big as far as what we can do to retool our minor league system and get some prospects. We don't have a whole lot of guys in the upper minors. We do have some promising guys in the lower minors, and you never know how those guys are going to shake out. So I'm going to say, 2022 maybe is when we'll be back. Playoff, hopefully even more optimistic would be 2021.
I would be okay with that. All right, time for an off-the-wall question before we let you go, Jamie. Jamie Bloomer, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. How many hours of sleep did you normally get on road trips?
I was never much of a sleeper, so people hated being my roommate on the road because I was, whether we had gone out the night before and had beers or done whatever we did after the game, I was always the guy in the lobby reading the paper, doing the crossword at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then maybe I'd take a nap before we go to the ballpark. I was a big nap guy. I wasn't a sleep till you go to the ballpark. So I wasn't. I still don't sleep a whole lot now. I think when I first got called up, some of my mentors told me to sleep when I'm dead because you're going to miss something. So I kind of still take that mantra. I don't sleep a whole lot because I don't want to miss anything. So on average, I probably, even back then, probably got 6 or 7 hours of sleep a night at max.
What did you guys do on off days? When you're on a road trip, you had an off day, or, the Royals, it maybe happened to you too, the Royals would have an off day, and then they're supposed to play like they did in Toronto, and then there was another off day. That game was postponed. What do you guys do to kill the time and get through that? And did you like having a couple days off in a row, or was it one of those things where you're really chomping at the bit to go play?
You know what? You kind of take advantage of it as far as where you're at. I remember one time we had an off day in Oakland. We got a chance to go over and do Alcatraz and kind of check out the pier in San Francisco and do some of that stuff. I wish I would have done more of that as far as discovering what some cities were all about instead of just staying in your hotel room and hanging out and doing nothing. And because all of us have gotten the chance to be all over the country, and I'm sure we've all missed out on some pretty neat things and some neat things that each of the unique cities that we've gone to that have that we probably appreciate more in our older days now that we should have done then. But Toronto's a great city. There's a lot of cool things to go see in Toronto. That was a cool thing in San Francisco with Alcatraz. You just need to do a little research. It's a lot easier now because there's the internet. Way back when, you couldn't research anything unless you had a library or an atlas or some of those things that most young kids have never heard of. You can just kind of Google what there is and go check it out. Maybe have a good meal somewhere at a restaurant that's pretty spectacular or popular or something like that, and check out more of the city and kind of get out of the baseball world for a little bit and just be a human being.
Did you guys get per diems when you played? Were you get meal per diems?
Yeah, absolutely.
What? How much would you get for a day for a meal per diem?
Oh, I think in the big league way back when was $75 a day in the big league, and it's $20 in the minor league. So you feel like you hit the mother load when you finally made it. I remember the first road trip I made, maybe it was 65. I remember them joined the team on a 10-day road trip at Anaheim, and they give you your per diem to start the trip in cash, and the per diem envelope that they handed me was more than my paycheck had been the previous 2 weeks in Omaha. I was excited to have that much cash. Now you just go out and spend it and burns a hole in your pocket, but that was fun. So I think big league meal money is still a bunch more than it is in the minor league. So that's another one of the perks for sure.
You use that all on food, right?
Absolutely. healthy food.
I'm sure you did. Hey, Jamie, tell people about you're still doing instructional stuff, right, there in the Kansas City area?
I am. Yeah, I'm at Kansas City Sports Club. We're at 3610 West 95th Street in Leawood, 95th and Mission. If you're familiar with any bowling establishment, it used to be the Ranch Mart Bowling Alley. If you need anything or you're in Kansas City, want to come by and hit the batting cages, bring your kid in, please give us a call, 913-381-5272, or check out all the different things that we do on the web at KansasCitySportsClub.com, and we'd love to hear from you.
Jamie, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again later on this season, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
That's Jamie Bluma, former Royal, with us on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill and Downs.